All right. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, head on over to Genesis chapter 17. That's where we're going to begin. But before we do, allow me to talk to you for a moment here about the introduction here. As I said earlier, tomorrow will be Monday, and that will mark Memorial Day of 2019. And I hope that everyone has the opportunity to enjoy that, to enjoy time with friends and family. I know that many of us are traveling and visiting, and so I hope that these are some memories made. I want to talk to you about what Memorial Day really is, though, and not only how it began, but what it's come to today, because by the end of the message, I hope to take the message of Memorial Day, our reason for observing it, and tie that in to Christ the Lord. Memorial Day is a day of observance. It's a day of remembrance, and as I stated earlier, it's a day that we set aside to remember our service members, those who have given so much for us. The Day of Remembrance, it became a national day of remembrance back in 1861, and it was marked by the decorating of the graves of soldiers that had fallen in the line of duty. That was the original beginning of a Memorial Day. Now, since then, Memorial Day has grown and it has changed slightly over the years to where it used to be reserved specifically for fallen service members. Today, it is a day of remembrance in which we not only honor our fallen service members, but we also take time out to honor and to remember those who've gone on before us, who've impacted our lives. Often, we would go out as a young man, I remember, to decorate the graves of mothers and fathers, aunts, nieces, brothers, family members, and ones who are dear to us, as well as those, of course, who served and gave their lives. And as I said, each Memorial Day, you'll see this, and no doubt many of you will be out over this past weekend. Maybe you have already. Maybe you'll be out tomorrow decorating those graves and visiting people who you know or who have impacted your life in one way, paying respects to loved ones. Now, often the weekend is a time of reflecting upon and passing down memorable stories which those who have been a part of our lives have left upon us, and we have an emphasis also of creating new memories with those that are here still, and that's why so many of us have come together. That's why we spend this weekend normally fun activities outdoors with our family members. Now, I want us to take the focus this morning, though, on those who've gone before us, on their legacy, on their testimony, and what God has done for us through them. Now, no doubt as I look about the room this morning, there's a great many of you here because of those who've come before you. It was said not too long ago that there's someone in our lives, each and every one of us, and oftentimes it's a number of people who are responsible for our faith today. Now, we know that faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. We know that that's something that God does. God reaches out by the power of His Spirit to bring us to saving faith, to believe upon Him, to repentance. But He does so through people. The Spirit works through the hands and the feet and the words and the testimonies of those in our lives. That's the way in which He chooses to reach out. Many of us were brought to a church, introduced to the gospel, instructed in our faith from someone who's no longer here in this world with us. God uses men and women in a great variety of ways, accomplishing a great many tasks and to affect lives in ways that we can't hope to fathom. This morning, I want to share with you a story from the Bible which I believe displays two of the greatest aspects of what Memorial Day is all about. And that, of course, first is the testimony that they've left behind. And first and foremost, above all, the greatest aspect of Memorial Day is sacrifice. Please join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord. First and foremost, we humbly bow before the throne, Lord. We bend the knee. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor, praise, Father, for you're worthy of it. Father, we thank you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the cross of Calvary where Christ, your only Son, gave his life as a propitiation, where his blood was shed for us. Father, we pray and we thank you, Lord, that you'd be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. Father, we also take this time out to thank you for those who have come before us, Lord, to thank you for those who have been instrumental in our lives, who have brought us to the place that we are, those who you have worked powerfully through. Father, we thank you for their testimony. Most of all, we thank you for Christ. Father, I pray this morning that you'd be with me as I come to give the word that you've given to me to give. Father, help me to speak it powerfully, to speak it truthfully, to speak it accurately. Father, I pray that you would be with the men and the women of your church, the bride of Christ, the world over, Lord, that we would glorify you, that you would have a high seat of honor and reverence, Lord, in our lives, for that is where you belong. Not simply first among all priorities, Lord, but you are the priority above all else. Father, help us to have a heart that sees that, that it is not something which we give to you, Lord, it's rightfully yours. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you are with your Bibles this morning, please turn to Genesis chapter 17. We're going to begin verse 15 through 17. This is a somewhat familiar story. We're going to be talking about Abraham. And you may be wondering right now this morning, Abraham, what does Abraham have to do with Memorial Day? Well, I hope to show that to you by the end of the message. Read with me here verses 15 through 17. It says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" So you see, Abraham and his wife Sarah, they were in their old age at this time. They were the fullness of their age, far beyond the years of childbearing, by our understanding and by what we know. What Abraham had longed for more than anything else, his heart's desire, would be that he should have a son, an heir, a son of his own flesh and blood, someone who is fully his own. That's the one thing he desired. However, if you're familiar with the story, then you know that this is something that Abraham, although he desired it more than anything, he'd all but given up on. And the reason for that is because Sarah was barren. Sarah could not give him children. And although it was his desire of his heart, he had come to terms, he had come to grips with the understanding that it was not to be so. He would never have a son of Sarah, his wife, whom he loved, though that was his desire. Now, you see, I can only imagine how desperately he had wanted this child, how desperately he had desired Isaac, and I can only imagine after so many years, as you see, he's 100 and Sarah, his wife, is 90 at this time, I can only imagine the joy that he experienced when that dream, that prayer became a reality, when that promise was given. Now, surely Isaac was everything to him, and that, of course, is the name of the child that God would give to him, that Sarah would bear. His name was Isaac. I have no doubt that Abraham loved him dearly with all his heart. And I can imagine, as I think about Abraham after so long, so many years of wanting to be a father and finally being able to be one, I imagine that Abraham spent a great deal of his time with Isaac, teaching him all of the things that he knew, handing down to him all the things that he had learned over his many years of life, sharing with him his story so far. I'm sure, in fact, I'm certain of it, that Abraham shared with Isaac a testimony of what God had done and who God was. You see, as I think back, that Abraham, who had been there with God and who God had ushered through so many things, I have no doubt that he shared with Isaac the story of how God had called him to leave the land of his fathers and venture off into a land that he didn't know. How God had delivered him, had protected him whenever he came into a meeting with Abimelech. I think about how, no doubt, he shared with Isaac the story of how Lot had left Abraham and went into the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked place, which God then, because of his love for Abraham, sought and protected Lot and his family and rescued them from not only Sodom and Gomorrah itself, but also spared them from the righteous wrath that God then came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Furthermore, as if that wasn't enough of a testimony, I'm sure he told them about how he was a blessing from God that he even had Isaac. So many stories, so many things he could share with him about what God had done in his life. And as I think about that, it causes me to think about the first thing I want us to focus on this morning as we think on Memorial Day and as we're about to observe. And that is the testimony that Abraham had before Isaac, for God. Many of us have those who we're going to be visiting the graves of and decorating, and we'll be talking about them and sharing these stories and thinking on them. I'm sure that many of them left such a testimony with you, that they told you about the things that God had done in their lives, that they are the ones who, I said earlier, maybe they're the ones who brought you to church. Maybe they're the ones who gave you the gospel for the first time. Maybe it was as simple as a school teacher at a Christian school, for instance, or maybe not at a Christian school, but it was a teacher who maybe invested time into you to tell you about the love of God. Maybe it was a father or a mother or a grandmother or an aunt who took the time to invest and to show you love and to bring you to church when the doors were open. Maybe it was at bedtime that they would tell you about the wonderful stories of the Bible, the things that God had done, the wonderful love of Christ. They left a testimony with us. And that is what I see here with when I think of Abraham and Isaac. How Abraham told him that God had blessed him abundantly. Abundantly blessed. Perhaps it was someone in your life who sent you to Bible camps. Maybe it was someone in your life who took you around to all the various VBSs, all the different things that we have today that are a blessing, all these ministries, that they took part in them. Maybe it was at a VBS or at a Bible camp that you come to know the Lord. I want you to ask yourself to think about this. Maybe it's not something that you've thought about before, but do you see the testimony of those who've gone before us? Those who God has used mightily. Now, we, of course, give God the credit for it. It was only through the power of the Spirit that these things were done. But he used them not only to be a blessing in their own lives and to bring them to Christ themselves, but to bring you to Christ, to bring me to Christ, to influence the world for the glory of God and for the salvation of those whom their testimony is seen by. It points to Memorial Day because Memorial Day has, in recent years, become, as I said, not just about honoring our service members, though it very much is. It's also a time that we remember those who've gone on before us in general. However, at this time now, I'd like us to shift our focus not only from those who have gone on before us in general, but I want us to focus on the one thing that is absolutely pivotal, absolutely crucial, absolutely critical to the reason for Memorial Day, and that above all else is sacrifice. Sacrifice. If you are in your Bibles this morning and you're at Genesis 17, hop forward just a few chapters to Genesis chapter 22 as I give you another aspect of the story of Abraham. Because you see, in Abraham, we're going to see both of those aspects, the testimony of God as well as the sacrifice. As well as the sacrifice. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And that word tempt there means to test him, so to speak. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Very important part of the scripture. Because as I said earlier, I have no doubt that Abraham loved him with all his heart. God knew that as well. And we see in Scripture that God identifies that Abraham had great love. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So you see, the Scriptures tell us that truly and absolutely he did love Isaac. Yet what was he instructed to do? He was instructed to give. He was instructed to give him up. And what I think we sometimes fail to see is what God has just commanded there is actually a twofold sacrifice. It's a twofold sacrifice that's been commanded. You see, the commandment was one, that Isaac was going to give his life, and second, that Abraham was going to be the one to take it. So not only would Isaac lose his life, but Abraham would give him up. You see, it's a sacrifice for both of them. The test, though, was for Abraham to see where his love was, to see if he would give of himself, if he would give that which was most precious to him for God, to see where his heart really lied? Was it for God or was it on himself? Was it for Isaac? Hop down just one verse through. We'll read the next three or four verses together. Genesis 22, verses 3 through 8. I want to tell you a little bit of the story and how it unfolds here. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up, and he went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And I think about this. I can't imagine what it must have been like for Abraham to know what was about to take place, to know what he had come to do, and to be able to have to look at Isaac, his only son, who he had longed for many, many years, who he'd loved with all his heart, and to see those eyes of his son, whom he loved, look up and ask him, Where is the offering? I imagine a shaking and a trembling in Abraham's voice. Perhaps a shaking physically in his body as he had to say to him, God will provide that sacrifice, knowing full well what was going to take place on that mountain. You see, that is why we celebrate. That's why we remember Memorial Day. Sacrifice. It's been said that all have given some, but that some gave all. God was asking Abraham to truly give all. Everything that was dear to him, everything that he loved. And like our service members who have fallen in the line of battle, they did this for their great love, their love of their country, but more importantly, the love of their nation. The nation, as you may know, is separate from the country. The nation is the people that live in that country, the people, our brothers and our sisters, all of the things that we stand for freedom. These are the things that our service members give their lives for. And it's because of their great love for their nation, their great love of God, their great love of the freedoms that we have here. That's why they do it. Abraham was about to give his son, which he loved dearly, because there was one thing that he loved even more than his son, just as our service members have something that they love more than their own lives. The people that they have entrusted themselves to, the people who look upon them to protect and to make sure that we have the ability to do what we're doing this morning, to come into the house of God, to fellowship, to worship freely. You see, Abraham had to tell him that God was going to provide that sacrifice. And I think about this for a moment. Abraham is continuing to display obedience, to display faith, to display a testimony of his relationship with God to his son Isaac, even in this moment. Even in this moment. And you'll notice there at the beginning in verse 3 that it says that, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, to give the emphasis that he didn't tarry, he wasn't slothful about his task. He immediately arose and went to the task that God had given him, to fulfill his duty, to do that which was entrusted to him to do. Now, I want you to see something else here. Take a look at the end of verse 8 there, where it says, So they went, both of them together. At this point, it's very possible, that Isaac may well have known what the intention was. We don't know that he did, but it's very possible. And I think that may be the reason that it says there that they both went them together. They went both willingly up to the top of the mountain to do what they had sought out to do, to give a sacrifice, to honor and to glorify God. Now, many of you may know exactly how the story here ends on Mount Moriah. Maybe you know that God, he stays Abraham's hand. He stops him. He says, no, don't give your son. Don't sacrifice him here. That God provides a ram, an actual ram that's caught in a thicket, and that what Abraham said to Isaac was true. But he didn't know how true it was. For the sacrifice that God was going to provide, surely it would be on Mount Moriah. And that's what I want to point you to now at this time. You see, we just talked about Abraham on Mount Moriah with his son Isaac, whom he dearly loved, his only son. And he was going to sacrifice him. Well, if you fast forward roughly 2,000 years, at our best guess, we don't know exact time, but if you fast forward roughly 2,000 years from this time, you will find another father with his only begotten son about to give his life. Sacrifice. Now, as I tell you this story, you may be wondering who this is. And I bring this up because this is a day of heroes. That's what Memorial Day is about. That's why we started. It's a day of heroes, people who have given everything. Well, this is the greatest hero that ever lived. This is the Savior of the world. Who was the Father? The Father was God the Father. And who was the Son that was to be sacrificed? It was Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord, that's who was about to be sacrificed. However, this story is a little bit different from the story with Abraham. For you see, God stayed Abraham's hand. God provided another sacrifice that Abraham would not have to give his only son. However, God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not stop that sacrifice. The blood of Christ poured out, willingly, might I add, willingly poured out upon the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago, so that you and I could have a relationship with God, so that you and I could, through Christ, have a relationship and be called the children of God. You see, our heroes that we celebrate on Memorial Day are military members. I told you a little bit earlier that they died and they give their lives for freedom. That, too, is why Christ gave his life. He gave his life that we would be free from the bonds of sin, free from the condemnation, from the wages of the sin, which is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. He gave his life as the ultimate sacrifice. Why? In obedience to his Father. And why? Because of his love for man. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. As I said, he was the greatest hero that has ever been, and he laid down his life for the sins of the world. In Isaiah, it says this. Let me give you two verses. I'm going to read you Isaiah 53:5 and as well as Isaiah 53:12. Think on these things, that like Abraham, who was going up to the mountain, knowing what was about to take place, he went freely and took his son. Just as Christ, going up the mountain, knew exactly what he was about to give. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then in verse 12 it says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's something I want us to think about. We have a lot to be thankful for in our nation. We have a lot to thank our servicemen and women for. And I want us to be thinking about that on the Memorial Day, to be thinking about the testimony of those who have served and those who haven't, who've come before us. But more than anything, on Memorial Day, think of the one who gave the greatest sacrifice of all. Think of the one who gave all that you and I could have, the freedom that really, really matters, the freedom that none other could have purchased, the sacrifice of Christ upon that cross. Christ paid the wages of our sin, and he made intercession with God the Father. And he is still there today interceding on our behalf. He is our great high priest. Why? So that you and I could be called the children of God. Think about that on Memorial Day. Also think of those who've gone before us, the men and the women that served, and the men and women that have impacted your life, that God has used mightily in your life. We celebrate and we remember our nation's heroes because of what they've done for us. And as I said, Christ died to ensure that we would be free of the bonds of sin and to bring us into a right relationship with God the Father, Almighty God, who is just and holy and righteous above all things. However, this is only available through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No other way. And that is why God did not stay his hand. That is why Christ died. There was no other ram that would suffice. There was none other that could pay that price. But Christ and Christ alone. It's only available to us if we acknowledge and believe upon Jesus Christ. And what does that mean, to believe? We say that all the time. Believe on the Lord Christ and you shall be saved. But what does it mean to believe in him? It's not simply to know that he lived. It's not simply to agree that he was the Son of God. To believe on the name of Jesus Christ, to believe in him, is to acknowledge that we are guilty of sin and trespass against God, and that we are therefore condemned to the payment, to the wages that is due us for that. And that, of course, is hell. Eternal chastisement in the lake of fire. That is due each and every one of us. But because of Christ, we believe that Christ died, the propitiation for us. He paid those wages, believing fully that his sacrifice was accepted, that our sins are forgiven, that our debt is paid in full, that no matter what we sinned today or tomorrow, that no matter what we've done in the past, all of it is paid for by the blood of Christ. Also, it has to do with repentance. Because you see, if you believe truly that Christ is, not that he was, that Christ is, it will bring you to a point of repentance, which is a change in your way of thinking. It is a change in the way that you see God, a change in the way that you see sin. It will drive you to bow the knee out of a thankful heart for what's been given. For Christ, like so many, gave all. This morning, if you don't know Christ, if you don't have that relationship, if even for a moment you've thought and wondered if you're saved, you've wondered if you've been forgiven for your sins, if you are wrestling with the fact that this world is still coming upon you and tempting you, then I want you here in a moment, as the congregation is going to sing. This is a moment that we invite you to come before the altar here, to come down, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know with a certainty that Christ paid the price for your sins and for mine, that you've been cloaked in his righteousness, that you're forgiven, that you're beloved, that you are free from the wages of your sin, and that you are a child of God fully and forever. As the congregation sings, we invite you to come.